Hello and welcome to Music Anime Focus again with me, Music Anime's editor Joe Sparrow. And in this episode, we're joined by two people from Splice, the music making platform and sample library, CEO Kakul Srivastava and Mark Thomas, Splice's head of product, speak to me about music creation in the 2023 environment when everybody and their dog is making music. We talk about how important samples are to the creative process today, the impact on musicians if platforms like Splice make finding samples a one-click affair, and how AI is being used to help producers find better samples better. Now, each Music Ally Focus episode analyzes one meaningful music business story at a time. And so this podcast is going to be quick. It will take about the same amount of time as Andrei Ortolf could hypothetically eat 51 kilos of natural yogurt. He ate 1.685 kilos in 1 minute in 2017. And for reference, 1.685 kilos is about the same weight as half a newborn baby or a large dictionary. Now, talking of consuming culture, sampling has been used by musicians for decades as a way to create music. And finding just the right sounds and snippets of music is a complex and time-consuming task. Splice, like a lot of music businesses, has been embracing AI and has just launched the public beta version of an AI-powered tool that assembles bunches of samples that fit well together. I spoke to Kakul and Mark about the needs of musicians today and the impact of technology in helping them create the music we love. All right. Well, I'm very happy to welcome to the Focus podcast Kakul Srivastava and Mark Thomas. Hello, both of you.
Hey, Joe. Thanks so much for having us.
Very lovely to see you both. And this is one of those international podcasts where we're straddling time zones. So I'm very grateful for you all arranging unusual times to do this. Now, can you just before we dig into what we're going to talk about today, which is Splice and the various technologies you're using around creative opportunities for artists, can you explain who you are individually and what your backgrounds are and what you do at Splice?
Sure. So maybe I'll start. I'm Kakul Srivastava. I'm the CEO of Splice. I was on the board for about a year and a half before I joined as a CEO about a year ago. My sort of TLDR is I spent my entire career building software for creative people. I started out with focusing on photographers. I was one of the early people at Flickr, helped take it from about 37,000 members to over 100 million. I was the head of product and marketing at GitHub. So I was building software for software developers. I was I built my own startup, which we ended up selling to Yahoo. I spent time building software for entrepreneurs at WeWork. And most recently, prior to coming to Splice, I spent about 5 years at Adobe building software for digital designers of various sorts. And now I get to be at Splice and do that for music creators. So I'm super excited to be here, super excited to be working on this. One of the things that I have learned from my industry experience, which has all been in the tech space really, is that on the music side, we've really underserved music creators. And so the work that I've been doing in the last year or so is really bringing in some of those tech heavyweights to build better experiences for music creators. And certainly it starts with samples, but it's also some of the AI-powered technology that we're going to talk about today, and which has led me to hire the people that I've hired, but it also makes me feel super grateful to work with someone like Mark, who prior to coming to Splice spent some time at Apple building one of their largest data platforms. Mark is also an incredibly talented musician, and that sort of tech-heavy, music-passionate mindset makes him the perfect leader to drive this part of our business. Mark, I'll let you talk, but I wanted to at least
start. You're making me blush.
Yeah, thank you, Kakul. You're a perfect introduction to Mark, who I note here, talking of your skills as a musician, you were in the house band at Ronnie Scott's in London, which is something.
That is right. Yeah, for a while I was playing trumpet with the W3 group that still to this day, I believe, has a residency at Ronnie Scott's, even though I've not been part of it actively for over 10 years now.
What's your background then? Kakul described some of it, but what's your background? What are you doing at Splice specifically?
Yeah, so I originally started out, I actually studied music and sound engineering and worked as a musician in London, as we just mentioned, for many years. But I was moonlighting as a musician from my day job. I was a CTO at AWOL, and very passionate about empowering independent artists. And as Cockle mentioned, I spent a very quick decade at Apple prior to joining Splice about 2 years ago. And one of the things that really excited me about the opportunity to join Splice is something I'm also very passionate about, is making music creation more accessible to more people. And I think having had that moment in music and being a music maker, I experienced a sense of purpose and empowerment that comes from being a music creator. And so I'm excited about enabling more people in the world to experience that too.
Yeah, no, thank you. Now, let's have a bit of an overview of the space. I'm sort of very broadly painting Splice as a sample library platform, but of course it's more than that. And you can unpack
that.
I'm just saying it to provoke you. But it's obviously more than that. It's the creative tools that it's providing, and there's a lot more to it than that. But of course, when we think about creativity around pieces of audio, we do go back to sampling. We do go back to, you know, those early days of hip hop and how it was all pieced together. And so there is a sort of connectivity there that is being extended in new ways. So where are we at with, I'm going to call it sampling, but I guess it's much bigger than picking bits of music and sticking them together.
Yeah, I mean, I really think about it as building blocks. You know, samples are one part of it, but our library now encompasses all kinds of crazy things, the sound device melting, you know, hiss of the tape, you know, all of these different bits of things that really come together. But it's not just about a particular piece of sound. It's also the tools and the technology that brings it all together. When I think about what's happening in the industry at large, I think there are really important micro trends that we constantly have a pulse on. For example, I can tell you right now, or my team can tell you right now, that on piano is the most popular genre. So for many music producers, that's where their mind's at. That's the kind of inspiration they're looking for. That's the sound they're trying to create. And behind that is hyperpop or Jersey Club, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? So there's this explosion of genres, and, you know, we kind of have a pulse on that on a constant basis. And we have people on the ground in different geographies all over the world trying to capture these tastes, capture these elements, and bring them together for people. And at the same time, and on our technical side, what we're saying is, okay, there's this explosion of different kinds of sounds, different kinds of ingredients that people want. How do we make that library, this ever-growing, ever-changing library, accessible to people? How do we help them not just have access to the sound, but find the right sound for that musical creation, that musical inspiration? And so we'll spend more time talking about that. So that's at the micro level, like what are the real trends on the ground at this particular moment? And then there's a macro, right? And you talked about hip hop and the early beginnings of sampling. It's just how people create now. It's certainly how young people create now. It's become mainstream, and it's definitely gone past those, you know, initial genres to every genre. You know, you think about someone like Taylor Swift and folk music or Americana or country, and the use of samples and all of these things that traditionally were not sample heavy musical genres, but it's a part of how music is done. And we don't see that slowing down. In fact, we see that accelerating. For the same reasons why it was so important for hip hop, it just makes music creation that much more fun, that much more accessible. And to some extent, those like building blocks of sound, and this is what I love to learn and, you know, people really tap into, is it's not just about the sound. It's about a reference back to that musical creation and that musical idea. It's almost like music's version of hyperlinks, right? So when Jay-Z uses that piece of, you know, music that really is a Sting song or something like that, where he's like crossing all these genres, he's linking back to that idea. And I think that's just really important and powerful to understand.
Yeah, thanks. Mark, How does this then apply to, on the sort of product side then? You've got, let's say, yeah, there's an explosion of attention around Amapiano. It's good. It's summertime. It kind of, you know, that's what people want. So how do you respond to that? And what are the demands from musicians in terms of what they want?
Yeah, so in terms of how somebody engages with our platform, what a successful experience with Splice looks like, we really see producers are looking for two things. They're looking for access and they're looking for quality. So access, this is about us providing better ways and more instinctive tools for finding the thing that they want from our library. You know, we have 2.5 million sounds on the platform covering all these different genres and all these different styles. And giving them tools that can access those sounds in a way that meets them where they're at, that's efficient, that's kind of conducive to their workflow, that's really, really critical to us. And then the second thing is quality. And we go to great lengths to capture the best possible sounds from all around the world, whether that's recording specific types of instrument or capturing the sound of particular musicians. And the authenticity of the sounds that we produce is a really important part of who we are at Splice. I mean, we sent a team to a glacier in Iceland to capture the authentic sound of recording inside an ice cave.
When we talk about authenticity, we're also talking about provenance, right? Where did the sound come from? Who is the artist that created it? Are we appropriately being respectful to the genre and the artist? And now, the appropriation is a big thing in the industry. And how do we make sure we're doing right and doing the fair thing for the artist and making sure that artists are compensated appropriately for how their content is used, right? So all of those things are really important. And for many people, you know, the rush to get to this AI future, they're ignoring that part. This has been a really core part of how we've built a catalog all along, and certainly something that's really critical to how we move forward in this new space as well.
Two things that stood out, 2 million plus sounds. It's a lot of sounds, and connecting them with people. Let's get past the hype around AI, because, you know, it's sometimes it's hard to see the actual usefulness of things, because you put AI on this AI sticker on something and, you know, you're immediately distracted. But first of all, can you talk us through what Koso does from a creator's perspective, and why is that the sort of natural extension of what you do in terms of having all these samples? Of course, you're guiding people to them, but what does it do for them, and why is it an extension of what you do?
I love that question, Joe, because I think you're getting at the heart of what really annoys me about the hype in the industry right now. We're focusing on the technology and we're not focusing on what makes it useful or interesting. And for us, what's cool about this technology is that what it enables for our users and for music creators. And I think that's threefold. First and foremost, how do we use this technology to help people find the right inspiration, right? How can you listen to different combinations of sounds to spark something in you that helps you go in a direction for your next musical creation? So that moment of inspiration is really important. The second way that we think about it is, you are already working on something and you've got something that you're sort of pulling together and you're like, what goes well with this? What goes well with this? And you use this technology to find that next complementary sound that comes along with your musical creation that you're already there. And that their workflow is really important, and making sure that you are providing the right help in a way that doesn't actually block the creative work is actually super important. And then the third one is, you've made a creation, right? You've made a creation, it works, you're really proud of it, but we can maybe help using this technology to complete it in some way. And so those are some of the ideas that we think about in terms of how we can leverage this technology to make things better for music producers in their regular everyday work, not transforming it in this way or that way. And, you know, of course, everyone can make all of those sort of hyperbolic statements, but it's really about, how do you put this technology in the use of real things, the real problems that our customers have, that music creators have. Mark, I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
Well, Mark, what about that from the creator's perspective? Yeah. Then, you know, how workflow is clearly important here, right?
Yes, this
is
very much
this
so.
Is a workflow thing.
Yes,
and for a lot of musicians, being in that flow state is, and you want to reduce interruptions. How does that work for you from a creative perspective then?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple of really key things about the workflow here. So you already mentioned COSO. COSO is a technology that we've developed. It's sort of for compatible sounds that helps you discover sounds from our, you know, pretty large catalog, which are harmonically and stylistically compatible with each other. And as you already mentioned, we released that last year in a mobile app. And we had a ton of learnings from that, and we got to see how people were using it. And one of the things that we discovered from that was, you know, it was a great inspiration point, and it was really valuable having access to that capability on the go through a mobile app. But when we talk about workflow, most of our creators are working on a computer, on a PC or a Mac, and they're working in their digital audio workstation, which that's the most sophisticated tools that are available to a music maker. And so something that was really important for us was taking that same capability and making it available on that surface. So you get access to, you know, the COSO technology, but through our Core Sounds marketplace, as a complement to browsing and searching to find sounds. Now you can discover sounds using this AI technology that are compatible with each other. And so we've done that. We've launched it. It's now available to all of our, or any user that's logged into Splice can see a new create tab when you're looking at sounds that lets you experience this technology for yourself. You can build a stack of sounds that are harmonically compatible with each other, and we'll match the tempo and the key as well, so you can hear those sounds. And we noticed a magical thing happen, which is discovering a sound on its own and hearing something, you know, as a single piece of audio. You might find something cool, you might find something interesting, but when you get to hear that sound in a musical context, we're kind of starting to blur the lines between discovery and creation. And actually, you know, our data showed us that people were engaging or were more likely to use a sound that they discovered in this creative context than say through something like search or browse, just because they're, you know, witnessing the potential of that sound in a more inspiring way. And so from a workflow perspective, you know, there's two benefits. The first is obviously being on a desktop puts this technology closer to the creator's workflow. But also, you know, we have this incredible benefit, especially at the first part of the creative process, which is really when you're looking for that moment of inspiration, you're looking for something new, you're looking for something that may not be what you're even thinking of, just to kind of kickstart your creative process. And we found that this technology has been a massive unlock, especially at that early ideation part of the creative process for our customers.
Maybe I'll just add one more thing to that, which is one of our biggest requested features was export to my DAW. And what that tells me is that people don't want toys. People don't want, you know, things that help them get started, but basically are a dead end or a cul-de-sac. You can't go any further. For us, a core principle is that whatever you start, whatever inspiration point that you find using some of these new capabilities that we're building, you can always bring them into your current workflow, into your digital audio workstation to finish the track. And that's so important. And that's what our users are telling us. They need this to be part of their core workflow.
So you've got a lot of data here from launching this a while ago on mobile, and you moved it across now to the desktop experience. Who are these creators? You know, I mean, obviously the pool of creators has completely opened out over the last, let's say 10 years, but beyond that as well, but particularly in the last 10 years with the proliferation of tools and DAWs coming free bundled with laptops and everything like that. And the dissemination of music is super simple now as well. So who are the creators that are really using this? Because what we're talking about here is you're saying you're blurring that discovery creation process. So are these people who feel like they need help in that space? Yeah, I, for instance, who loves music but struggles to make it, I can see the benefits of this. So is it more aimed at people like me, or is it people who are making sort of legitimate chart hits as well?
Well, maybe I'll start by talking about sort of the the market as we see it and where that's going. And then I'll talk a little bit about who Slice serves as its core. Right? So we see the market, and this is based on external market research that we've commissioned, but it's also just out there in the industry. First and foremost, in our core, are the digital music producers. These are people who have adopted digital audio workstations. They use a DAW on a regular basis. They feel somewhat proficient. No one ever feels proficient with a DAW, but you know, somewhat proficient around it. And that market is about 60 million people on a global basis. It's not a small market. And it's continuing to grow on a double-digit CAGR. Coming out from that, you know, sort of core circle are people that we talk about as future music producers. And these are people, we talk about them as DAW curious. They've tried a DAW, they haven't adopted it yet, they're looking for the right tool. And these are people who are, you know, maybe open to a different way of creative work, but, you know, also have aspiration to be like one of the pros. So that's why they're DAW curious. And then you have a group of about 400 million people globally, and again, continuing to grow, who are musicians, right? These are people who actually play an instrument, whether they're vocalists or instrumentalists. That's a vast market. And if any of those people, you know, have a musical idea, have something that they've created, and want to turn it into a complete track, one of the first things they have to do is go find their digital music producer friend who can help them. And that's fine, that works, but it changes the power dynamics in the industry, right? Of like, what do you need to do to actually complete a musical idea? And so there's an opportunity here to put some of this power and make it more accessible. So I think those are all the things that we're looking at as the industry and saying like, how do we participate in this very large opportunity to serve very different kinds of music creators. But in terms of our users today and our focus today, it's very much on those digital music producers. They're an incredible group of people. They have really interesting workflows, whether, you know, what their workflow is in the studio setting, what their workflow is when they're live collaborating with an artist, what their workflow is when they're really just coming up with musical ideas on their own, and how do we serve those markets? And so to answer your question, our focus is going to be first and foremost on those digital music producers, more comfortable in that DAW environment, and what do we need to do to give them the best set of tools, the best set of ingredients to do their work. But we also recognize that there's this other market that we're also learning about. We think it's important. We do think that everyone deserves great tools, but we're starting and totally focused right now on the digital music producers.
This is a conversation that a lot of people are having at the moment in terms of where does the line get drawn between assistance from technology and the human creative process. So is there a danger that artists are sort of being a little bit removed from one part of that creative process? If suggestions are so easy or just at a click away, is one argument could be that the arduous crate digging that DJ Shadow did back in like 1993, that took months and months and months to create his music, was the creative process, right? So where is that balance?
Yeah. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was having a conversation with this leader from OpenAI. And a question I had for him was like, hey, what did you learn when you first put DALL-E in the hands of artists? And he was just like, oh my God, it was amazing. It was mind blowing because what they could do with this technology were things that we never imagined. And we got more feature requests from our artists than we did from anyone else that we demoed this technology to. And that's what's really important. That's what I'm excited to learn as we put this technology into the hands of our users and the hands of creators, where they're going to take us. Because I guarantee you that they are the ones who are going to help us discover the future. And they're the ones who are going to be pushing us to develop more features, more sophistication, so that they can use it to bring their concepts into reality. I mean, it's incredibly powerful. This is why I've dedicated my life to this work. There's nothing else like it. And so this is not going to put musicians out of work. It's going to allow more people to create music that speaks to their hearts and minds better, yeah, faster, and in more exciting, empowering ways.
Mark, you're a musician. How does that work with you in your creative process? You know, where do you want to draw the line personally, or where do you think musicians want to draw the line in terms of having stuff recommended to them as part of their creative process? And then where is the line in terms of being able to step back and do their own thing as the human creative genius part?
Yeah, there's a couple of really important things here. So you already mentioned DJ Shadow, crate digging for months to kind of find the perfect sound. And a really important part of, like, a sacred part of the creative process actually is happy accidents, or the technical term would be chaos. And some of the emerging trends that we've seen in creative AI recently are almost removing some of that from the process. They're almost kind of bypassing the kind of happy accident in favor of a direct line to the perfect outcome. And something that we're trying to explore and we think can be a valuable use of this technology already, but it's something we really want to lean into more and more as we kind of continue to develop this, is how can we leverage this technology to create those unpredictable and serendipitous moments that are a magical part of the creation process, similar to what you might find from crate digging, except there's maybe a little bit more immediacy than DJ Shadow had when he was sampling records for many, many months. So that's more about the inspiration point and the starting point of creating. And the second part to this is something, again, that is an area of exploration for us over the rest of this year, is there's another way that you can use the same technology that we were talking about, this kind of complementary sounds technology, which is actually flipping it the other way around and using a creator's original idea as the starting point. And what are some sounds that could be harmonically compatible with that? You know, already when you have, 2.5 million sounds in a catalog, the chances are there are many, many sounds in there that could be a perfect harmonic and stylistic fit for your unique idea. And so we're looking at finding ways of bringing that technology to allow a creator to, accelerate their creation process once they've already started. And so for us, it's so important that we put the creator in the driving seat. And they are making the decisions that are influencing how the technology is working for them. And what better way to influence the way technology is working for you than to seed it with your original idea?
Our point of view, and you're hearing that from Mark and you're hearing that from me, is the human has to be at the center of this new experience and these new sets of experiences. So even in our early iterations, some of the artists that we tested it with told us, this doesn't feel right. It feels like cheating. It feels too easy. It feels like you're giving me the answer. And they really had a negative reaction to that because they want to be in the driver's seat and they want to be able to have that creative control that you're talking about, right? It's one of those things that you have to test and iterate and just make sure that you find that right balance of putting that power in the hands of artists, but also allowing that artistic center to come out and to really be the loudest voice in the room, as it were. And so when I think about the future, I think I'm really excited for the time where we stop talking about AI. It's not about AI. It's enabling technology, like many other enabling technologies, that really help put power back in the hands of creative people. One of the things that really makes us human is that we have the ability to create. And whether it's all of the social media stuff or all of the inputs that are coming in, the chaos of our everyday lives, that creativity, I fundamentally believe that is under attack. And so anything that we can do to turn that on for people, to give that a little bit more fire, to let that spark burn a little bit hotter, I think it's powerful. And I think where all of this noise and hype eventually evens out is in a place where you've got more creative people than fewer in the world. And so that's what we're really driving towards. That's what I hope will happen. That's what history tells us will happen. But we're going to let our users take us there. And I guarantee that what we see today is going to be very, very different from what really ends up being important in a year or two.
What I will do, of course, I'll put some links below the podcast so people can check out Splice, but also I will link to some of the videos and examples that you've posted so they can see the technology in use, particularly around COSO. And one final question then. We've talked a lot about music technology, but I want to ask you a music question. If you could only pick one piece of music to listen to for the rest of your lives, what would it be?
Can it be a whole album, or is it just like
it can be a whole album? Yeah, yeah. You can have a whole album. Yeah. I'm willing to be a bit flexible here. I'm just trying to get you to narrow down your thoughts.
Oh wow! Well, I actually have used this exact question as an icebreaker with my team, so I feel like it's unfair that I've thought about it before. There's an album by a Canadian trumpet player called Kenny Wheeler. The album's called Music for Large and Small Ensembles, and I've listened to it many, many times over probably 25 years. And I may be cheating because it's a double disc set, so there's like more music than you might typically have, so I get that extra variety. But it's just phenomenal, beautiful, lush, big band kind of jazz tinged album that I can't get enough of.
That's a great recommendation and one we've not had before. So thank you for that. I'll link to that as well. I think you're smart with picking a double album. That's strategic. Carcall, any?
Yeah, for me, I think it's a classic, and I'm sure it's been said before. It's Inner Visions, Stevie Wonder.
No, it's not been said before. You're the first person.
I could listen to it all the time.
It's a fabulous album. Oh, two good recommendations there. And I'm very very grateful for that. Okay, so Mark and Carcall, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. This was super fun. Thank you.
All right, that's it. So thank you to Mark and Carcall for joining us. If you found that useful, please share this podcast on with someone else who you think will get something out of it. And if you want to get in touch, I would obviously love to hear from you. You can email me on joe@musically.com. That's Joe, J-O-E, @musically.com. Music Ally also has a free weekly email called The Knowledge, which rounds up a bit of this, a bit of that, and a bit of the other of the best analysis, news, marketing insight, and skills from across all of Music Ally's wide range of services. So sign up, become a better human being, and impress your boss. Links are in the description, as always, as well as some links to the various products and tools that Splice were talking about in the interview with us just then. All right, that's it. Thanks for joining us, as ever, here on the Music Ally Focus podcast. I've been Joe Sparrow, you've been you, and until next time, farewell.